Hello, my dear curious friend. Welcome to yet another episode of the Curious Pavel podcast sessions. Listen to this. Did you know that people in India have about 33 million gods to worship? Wow, how about that for a fact? Today, I'm inviting a girl from India. She was born in the east part, and now she lives in the west, in Mumbai. And of course, we're not going to be talking about just Mumbai. We're going to be talking about India in general. That's how I found about this fact. Question after question after question. You know, you can find something interesting in every episode. In this episode, we'll not only be talking about the culture in India. We'll be talking about the food, the drinks, what to see in Mumbai, and how to get around in this city with its crazy transportation system. It's a really curious episode, and I invite you to enjoy it with me. But actually, before we go, let me throw a quick disclaimer here. The audio of this podcast may not be the best. In fact, the audio of most of the podcasts, or hold on, let's not say most, in some of the podcasts may not be the best, but it's not the audio that's important. Have in mind, that's a remote podcast. We are not getting together in one room. It's a remote podcast over the internet, and that's normal. So have in mind that it's not the audio what's important. What's important is the knowledge, and Anamika has knowledge. So hop on the train, sit next to me, 2 meter distance, of course, and let's travel to Mumbai. Actually, before we go, let me just throw something quick through here. Don't forget that my birthday is almost here. My birthday is on Tuesday, that's right, just a couple days from now, this Tuesday. And I'm having a giveaway. I don't know if you have seen, but all you need to do is give me a fact and I will give you a free book. Well, not that necessarily I will give you. You need to wow me. You need to wow me, amaze me. The person with the most curious fact will get a free copy of my book, no matter where you are in the world. The book is called How to Talk to Strangers, a really useful stuff, a thing that can actually change your life. And I'm really serious about that. I can ship that book wherever you are. Just send me a fact or post it on social media. Use hashtag CuriousPavel so I can find the post. And deadline is Tuesday. Not so long left. So let's go to India. Hello, Anamika. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm all the way from Mumbai. And how are you doing?
Yes. I'm doing great. Thank you for asking, by the way. It's really nice when somebody asks you back and then just, you know, get into the things like, oh, okay, how are things? Okay, let's go. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. And you are all the way from Mumbai, and we're going to be talking about Mumbai. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Look, I have a surprise for you.
Ooh, Mumbai. Yes. That looks familiar. That's our flag.
I know. Okay. I should have maybe went a step further and have checked for the Mumbai flag. But anyway, let's keep it with the Indian flag.
We don't have a Mumbai flag, but we're very India is famous for its cricket, and we have a team from Mumbai. It's called Mumbai Indians, and we're just always supporting Mumbai Indians, and they have a flag, so that's like our flag, kind of.
Wait, so the flag of the city is not the flag of the city, but the flag of the cricket team?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have city flags or anything. But we have like city teams for IPL, that is the Indian Premier League. And it's very famous. It's happening in UAE this year because of the coronavirus and everything. So we use, you know, those flags kind of to represent.
I know cricket is the main sport in India, isn't it?
It's not the national sport, but it's very famous. It's actually hockey, the national sport.
Hockey? National sport of India? You shocked me from the very beginning.
we're all about cricket.
Is it ice hockey or this hockey?
No, regular.
Okay, because if it was ice hockey, you're going to throw me away from the bus straight away. Like ice hockey in India, national sport? Okay.
That's extreme. That'd be a lot of work.
So you're talking about the hockey that you a bit crunched, you know, and with the short stick.
Yeah, with the
okay. I see. Yeah. Okay. Whoa, fantastic. We're going to talk about India and Mumbai specifically. I'm excited to learn about that. And before we go there, what I usually do is I ask the guests to introduce themselves, because once again, as most of the guests, I have never met you in person. And I know you actually just a few days ago, we met together on Instagram. So why don't you tell me and the audience, who are you? Where are you coming from? Why do you live there? And what's happening in your life?
So I've been living in Mumbai. I'm Anamika, by the way. I've been living here for almost 5 years now. And I actually was doing my master's from the University of Mumbai. I'm from the eastern part of India. I'm from West Bengal. I moved in, I think, 2016 or so. And currently, I'm just about to pursue my PhD in communication and journalism. I am a writer. I write poetry and a lot of short stories and stuff. And I also have a spoken word poetry podcast, and also sometimes do other things to just help people and just to, you know, just to brighten someone's life, you know, small things. That's all about
me. Oh, I love it. I love it. So, okay, hold on. I have two questions. One of them is, first, how do you brighten someone's life?
I actually started investing in like small businesses for women entrepreneurs. So I became an angel investor for a lot of women who kind of they were really struggling with their business due to the COVID-19 situation. And they're from really small towns, like tier three cities in India. So I just kind of started to, you know, uplift them and do whatever I can to just, you know, I don't want them to give up on their dreams so that they can actually keep the business afloat.
So, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
So basically, by investing in people, that's how you brighten their life in a way.
Yeah. But, I mean, they were on the verge of kind of giving up their business. So, you know, I just wanted to do something nice, and anyone ever asks for something, I try my best to help them.
That's very nice. Do you keep them in a community somewhere?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Do you keep them in a community somewhere, like on Facebook?
No, they're from very small towns. One of the business owners, she's actually from my hometown, which is like Bardhaman. It's a very small town in India. It's in the eastern part of India. So yeah, they're not very connected on online or anything, but they're happy with their own small businesses.
I think you should keep a register or something of these businesses, because they have something in common. They are business owners and they're struggling. So there might become a point that they will be helpful to each other. So if one business is manufacturing something and the other business is selling something, maybe they can connect and work together.
Yeah, so, I would suggest them to do that. I think I should. Yeah, that's a good idea. I should tell them.
Yeah, no problem. Ideas flowing from here all the time. Ideas. No problem. Thanks so much. Great introduction. Really impressed by you, even already from Instagram. And then my second question is, what about the poetry? Like, do you do it in a way that you make money from it, or is it just a side thing?
Well, I never thought of my poetry as a source of income, but I started publishing recently on Medium, which is somewhere you earn from Medium, and you have to be, you know, a partner to kind of join and become a part of the publications. So I started doing that. I also have my own blog. I started this because of the whole lockdown situation, because I had nothing else to do. I was like, you know what? It's time to take my poetry to another level. So I did that. So I have the blog and the Medium thing. And for the podcast, not yet. I'm not there yet. I do have some really loyal listeners who love to like listen to my poems, and they always text me like, when's the next episode coming out? And I'm like, soon, because poetry takes time. So yeah, but I am, the podcast is growing oh, crazy. I did this one poem called Dear John, and that kind of blew up. People loved it, and they're just all about, yeah, I'm trying to take my podcast to another level so that I can do better.
Is it in English?
Yes, it's in English. All my poems are in English. I write in English.
Okay. The way I imagine is like you put the, you know, low light, you sit on the desk with a candle next to it, like a small light, and they're like, and today, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to read you the poet of John. John, that's how I imagine it. I'm now curious. I'm going to play your podcast and have a listen, but that's how I imagine it. And then I imagine myself, you know, in the night, I'm going to put the headphones on me, or not even headphones. I'm going to light up the fireplace. I'm going to sit comfortable on the sofa. I'm going to play your podcast and good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
It is to de-stress you. It is to, if you're anxious, it is to make you feel good. If you're a bedtime listener, you can just put my podcast on and just go to sleep. It's very calm and soothing. That's how I've kept it.
I knew it. You speak like that. You know, you're, how can I say, your mantra, is it mantra? Is that a suitable way to say your mantra? The energy that you give is like, okay, you know, I'm going to calm you down and don't stress. You know, that's how you speak. You know, that's how I see it. But anyway, okay, cool. I read you. I'm so happy with myself. And I'm so happy with you that you joined. Oh my God, we're so different. I'm so, hey, ha, ha. And you're like, let's relax. Okay, let's try and find a mutual energy and travel to Mumbai. First of all, I can say that Mumbai is in the west of India. So my first question is, if you are from the east, why do you travel all the way from the west? Is it because Mumbai has the opportunities, or is it something else?
Opportunities, definitely. Mumbai is called the financial city, the financial everything capital of India. Our actual capital is New Delhi, but our financial capital is Mumbai. So Mumbai has all the opportunities. Mumbai also has Bollywood. Mumbai has everything. It's just a great vibe. So it's definitely a city everyone wants to move in, but also it's overcrowded. So some people are like, we don't like all that crowd and it's too much, too many people. So that's kind of crazy for those people. It's not the best place if you don't like crowd. But if you like that, you know, chaos and the hustle and the bustle, Mumbai is
I like that, the hustle and the bustle. You know, it's so interesting. I just Googled, how many people live in Mumbai? What's your guess?
20 million.
I know, right? 20 million. That's ridiculous.
That's 5 times more than New Zealand's population. Can you believe that?
It's what?
It's 5 times more than New Zealand's population.
5 times. That's a curious way to put it into perspective. 5 times New Zealand population. It's so bizarre because I'm a walking tour guide as well. I don't know if you're aware. Just before,
yeah, I know. I read.
Yeah, yeah. Just before Corona, I was doing walking tours in London for a while, for more than a year. And then one of the tours, it was an Indian girl, and she was from Mumbai, to be fair. And she came. We walked around, and we went to the underground, which is called how is it called here? I forgot. I didn't use it for so long time. Anyway, we went to the underground and we used the trains. And then I asked her, like, okay, so you're coming from India. You know, it's a big city, you know, a big country. You know, how is it comparing to London? Because here is also quite busy. And she was like, ooh, London is crazy. Indeed, very crazy. It's chaos. But the difference is it's organized chaos. While India is complete chaos.
If you can drive in Mumbai, I say this to all my friends.
Yeah.
If you can drive in Mumbai, think of it as you have done something great in life. It's so crazy to drive in Mumbai. You just can't possibly. It's impossible. It's so difficult.
So just like the song, if I can make it there in New York, if I can make it there, I can make it everywhere. If I can drive in Mumbai, I can drive everywhere.
Stressful situations in life, all stressful situations, if you can drive in Mumbai.
Okay, so maybe you should promote your podcast with that. Maybe you should tell people to play your podcast while they're driving. Maybe that will calm down the traffic.
Yeah, but they'll fall asleep.
Okay, not to that extent. Okay. First of all, before I'm curious to know what I can see in Mumbai. But before that, can we talk a bit about the culture and in India in general? Like, tell me, how are things happening? And if I go to India, is there something I need to be aware of? Like, don't do this, or don't point your finger, or don't say this, or is there something like that that I need to be aware of?
You will be surprised. So with India, every state has its own culture. Every state has its own language. So Mumbai is Marathi, the language, mm-hmm. mostly it's Marathi, but it's such a, you know, it's just, it's like a hub. It's like a, you know, spot for everything. You'll find anyone and everyone in Mumbai, people from different countries, from all over the world, people from India, all over India, different cities. So the culture of Mumbai is just very, it's like, there are expats, so many expats, there are so many people from different cities. It's just kind of like a mixture of everything. And it's beautiful because people here are so nice to each other and they just know that we're used to living this, like so many people, so many cultures, and we just accept people as they are. And we have this beautiful vibe to the city. It's very vibrant. It's very, very nice. So the culture is, it's not exactly one culture, but it's a mix of everything. So that's what makes Mumbai, Mumbai.
Okay. So it's very multicultural in a way.
Very, yes.
Okay. So if we leave Indians on the side, what are the next cultures and nationalities, for example, that you will find in Mumbai?
Americans, a lot of Americans.
They live there.
Yeah, in India, yeah. Huh. There are a lot of Americans. People from all over the world, Americans, French, German, even English people, English, Scottish, Irish. Not like so many, obviously, because there are so many of us, almost 1.4 billion of us. But yeah, you'll find them. So there are like spots, there are like different places. So where I live, it's right next to the consulate of the embassy of, I think not embassy, I think consulate general of the U.S. So U.S., yeah. So it's like a lot of people live there close to that place. And then Bandra is like the spot for like a lot of expats. You'll find a lot of people from all over the world living there. So yeah, a lot of people, but a lot of people from the U.S., yeah, they live here. They work here. So we have a very, you know, that friendly bond, I guess. So, yeah.
I guess the way it works in a way in London is that you find that some cultures have this hub. So, for example, mm-hmm. if you go to, you know, North London, in some areas of North London, you know that you find more Bulgarians than in other areas.
Yeah.
Is it the same with India?
Mm-hmm.
In Mumbai, yeah?
India, I wouldn't know about India, but in Mumbai, there are like spots like that. So, like Bandra West specifically, it's just for all the foreigners living there, most of them. Then it's the south side of Mumbai, which is known as the city. So we divide Mumbai into two sections, suburbs and the city. So anything beyond, say, where I live in Santa Cruz, which is like in the middle. So you can go to the suburbs. If you go north, you're going suburbs. If you're going south, you're going to the city. So the city place is also a kind of like a spot for a lot of expats living there. So like Worli, Parel, all these places are good spots. Nariman Point, which is also great, which is like the end of Mumbai, considered to be the end of Mumbai, because it's just like a promenade that's just kind of ends and you just see the sea. It's beautiful.
Okay. And is there something that I need to be, you know, aware when it comes to culture? When I go to Mumbai,
we're very tolerant people. Actually, in Mumbai, we are very. I know we accept everyone the way they are. We don't judge. We're very nice.
You know,
you have to be in Mumbai. You have to be conscious about anything. In Mumbai, no. Other cities, maybe in India, but in Mumbai, uh-huh. we just accept everyone the way they are. We're just always kind of like, yeah.
No.
We're vibing with you.
I was actually sure you're gonna say we're very nice people, and I I see that. I think in general, most Indians that I've been speaking to, they're nice. And that reminded me of a comedy sketch I watched once. And there was this stand-up comedian who said, like, I can never imagine, you know, Indian robbing a bank. You know, they're so nice. It's ridiculous. That's not going to happen. So,
yeah
I think he's right. Yes. Okay, so let's go to sightseeing then. What can we see in Mumbai?
It depends on what you want to see. Because
I like mostly how you're going there. Yes, yes, exactly. When people come to, you know, do walking tours and it's like, okay, show me London. I say, what do you want to see? If you don't want to see art, I'm not going to put you in the gallery. So let's talk about some architecture and maybe some history that you know that you can tell us.
Yeah. So if you're coming here and you are a fan of architecture, I think South Mumbai is your spot because it's kind of the architecture there is very Portuguese and inspired because they were obviously here. So the buildings have been inspired to, you know, have that kind of Portuguese effect to them. And they're all restored. They're not new buildings. If you go to South Mumbai, you will see like buildings that are 50, 60, 70 years old. And they're just so nicely maintained because we love to do that. And obviously, South Mumbai has the gateway of India, which is considered to be the gate where the British came in India for the first time. That is the gate they used to come in. That's what we consider in history. So that is a spot. That is a very touristy spot.
Okay, you're talking about the very bottom, very south.
That's where the Gateway of India is. That's where the very famous Taj Mahal Hotel is also there. You can see that's the Gateway of India. That's the Taj Mahal Hotel.
Okay.
It's also known for the blast that happened a couple of years ago. And that was a tragedy.
Yeah, that was the hotel?
Yeah, that was the hotel.
Oh, yes.
Now it's restored and it's great. And the owner of that place, Tata, he is so nice. He has given this because of the COVID-19 situation. Obviously, the hotels were closed, but he has given this hotel as a residence to the doctors and nurses who are working so tirelessly. Mm. So they got to stay there during this whole COVID-19 period. That was beautiful. That was a beautiful gesture from his side. The other building that you see right next to the hotel, it's also part of the hotel. It's more of a modern building. It's not the same architecture.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see a taller building. It's very different.
Yeah.
That's a very, very, very famous place. It's got a very nice restaurant. If you're a foodie, you should go in and just have like a nice dinner. It's very beautiful.
Is the restaurant on the top?
No. We don't have... Not there. If you want to do the rooftop, we have some good options for you. But that they are also in South Mumbai. Like we have St. Regis. Okay. We've got.
Let's talk about restaurants when you go to food. Okay. Let's keep it here. Okay.
Now you're going to talk about just the culture. So yeah. So if you want to see that, if you want to see the city life, but also a bit of architecture, and there's this huge difference when you come to. Like when you go to South Mumbai from North Mumbai, you will be amazed because people there are so chill. You know, like North Mumbai people are so busy. They're always just like running and doing things. And in South Mumbai, people are very chill. They follow the driving rules because the roads are cleaner, the roads are wider, the roads are bigger. So the driving is better, the experience is better, and people always follow the rules, and that's a nicer kind of place compared to North Mumbai. And so if you want to see the city, also architecture, that's your place. But if you want to be close to nature, then we also have the Sanjay Gandhi National Park, which is in the north of Mumbai, and it's a huge park and it's beautiful. We also have like caves inside the park, and a lot of people go and visit there. You know, more.
It's what, did you say cave? Sorry.
Yeah.
Caves in the park?
Inside the park, yes. Kanheri Caves inside the Sanjay Gandhi National Park, which is a very famous, very famous park. If you want to go there and be close to nature, that's your spot. It's very nice.
Okay, but these caves are small, aren't they?
They're small, yeah. Okay. They're small, but they're quite significant.
Okay, so, do you also have lions in the park?
No.
I see a picture of a lion when I googled the park. I'm like, oh, that would be weird. Okay, that's really curious. I hear for the first time a park, a national park that you can go, and then do you have caves that you can just browse inside? And like, it's really strange for me, but peculiarly nice. I like it.
We also have Elephanta Caves, which is not exactly, it's not in Mumbai. You have to take like a ferry and you have to cross the sea to get there. It's like a small island. It's close to Mumbai, but it's you can go there from Mumbai, and those are actually very nice caves. I've been there. It's called Elephanta Caves, and they're also, you can take the ferry from the south of Mumbai, where the hotel is, the Taj Mahal Hotel from Gateway of India. So you can go, it's a small ride, it's not that long, and it's a beautiful place. Hmm. That's also something, if you're interested in history, then those caves are also good for exploring. They've got some nice carvings and some nice statues, so that's a good one.
Speaking of Gateway of India, is there something, can you tell me something about this building here in the front at the Gateway of India?
That's the hotel. Which building? Are you talking about the Gateway?
The Gateway itself, yes.
Yeah, that is the Gateway itself. I think that it has some kind of, it has the writing for British, should be there in front of it when they came in, and it was just the mark of that is just there. And
so when they came, that building was there?
They made that building. I think it was their way of kind of portraying that we have entered India. But I do not count me on that. I'm not really sure about that information. But all I know is that it kind of signifies the entrance of the British inside, you know, in India. That's what it signifies. But it is not to be confused with the India Gate, which is in New Delhi. A lot of people confuse it with the India Gate. But it's not the India Gate, it's the Gateway of India. That's the difference. But yeah, I don't know too much about the history, but that's okay. All I know.
So what's the India Gate then when it's New Delhi? Can you just briefly?
India Gate is completely different. It's in New Delhi. It has nothing to do with Mumbai.
But what do you know what that gate represents in New Delhi? No. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. We're not traveling to New Delhi today. We're traveling to Mumbai. So let's keep it in Mumbai. Okay. While we're still in the south of the city, is there something else here?
In south of the city?
Yeah.
Culture, the food and all the good restaurants and hotels. What you can also find, there are communities there. Oh, it's also the home of, do you know Ambanis? They're like the richest people, like the top 10 richest people in the world. Their home is in South Mumbai. So they have this billion-dollar huge skyscraper that is in South Mumbai. That's a huge home that they have. A lot of people go and try to see that, and they take pictures because it's a nice building. It's a really nice building.
Yeah, it's a different shaped building. So yeah. it seems like the floors just don't stack up. It's just like one floor has a different, you know, in a way, foundation. And it's a really, really weird creative building. What's that?
It's very creative. I mean, the structure of the building, it's architectural. It's very creative and modern and different. It's very contemporary. It's not something that you get to see like every day. So that's a good building. Also, there are different communities living there, like in small parts. I forgot to mention Haji Ali Dargah, which is a dargah. That is kind of in the middle of the sea. So you have like steps, not steps, like a pathway to the dargah. And sometimes the waves are so big, it just kind of covers the pathway and you can't reach there. But it's a beautiful Haji Ali dargah.
What dargah means?
Dargah is a place of for Muslim people to worship. They have this, yeah. That's for them. That's their religious place.
Okay.
And they have like beautiful evening cultural programs and Sometimes they have beautiful music and performances. And yeah, it's a really nice place. It kind of calms your soul. It's very beautiful.
Interesting. So what would you say is the difference, if you know, between dargah and a mosque?
Oh, mosques are way bigger structures, I think. I don't know exactly religiously how it's different, but I think mosques are way more, like, they're bigger structures. And I think dargah is more, I don't know, humble structure for religious, but I shouldn't speak for it because I don't really much, I don't know much. But what I have seen so far for mosques and dargah, I think mosques are way bigger and more grand in a way, I think. But I don't know how religiously they're different.
Okay. Sure. All right. So what else then we can see here?
I think that's, for South Mumbai, that's good. Then you can come to Bandra. Bandra is kind of like, I told you, South Mumbai, Bandra, then where I live, Santa Cruz. Bandra is more like the place where you can chill and like have some good food, good music, clubbing. That's what Bandra is known for. If you're a club person, then Bandra is your place because it's known for its clubs. And they're very, very small, but, you know, lively music. We've got great music we've got reggae clubs, we've got R&B, hip hop, and like pop music clubs. It's just, it's very much the club culture in Bandra, and good food, good people, very chill kind of a place. So it's good for that in Bandra. And if you go beyond that, and if you go north, north is more kind of, you know, for nature. And as I said, the national park is there. So it's more of, it doesn't have that kind of club vibe to it. It does have more of a nature vibe. So that's how it's different.
I see. Okay. Where is this picture from?
Oh, that's the Dharavi slum. That is Asia's biggest slum that is also in Mumbai. And
Asia's biggest what?
Biggest slum.
It's in Mumbai. Okay.
Yeah. Oh. It's a huge slum. And it's right... When you, it's kind of ironic, the moment you land, it's right next to the airport. It's actually really big, so you can kind of, it kind of follows you. It's right next to the airport. So the moment you land, you can kind of see like a little bit of a sneak peek of it. But it's so different. I mean, like the one thing that makes Mumbai so different, I think, is the contrast, the diversity. Mm. You see the biggest, slum in Asia in Mumbai, and then you see a $1 billion building in the same city. So I think that's quite crazy. We also have Dhobi Ghat, which is actually in Santa Cruz, but it's more like in eastern Santa Cruz. So you have to go more north. So Dhobi Ghat is a place where people, like, we give our clothes to wash, and there's this whole community of Dhobi. Dhobi are people who kind of, they do laundry. They're like laundry people, but they do it like in an open area, and so many clothes are together, so many colors, and it's a beautiful scene. It's a very famous tourist spot because people love to go and see how they do what they do. They get so many clothes every day, and they wash them in that open space all together, and it's the whole community who live there and do their job. Wow. That's also very popular.
How did you say that was named?
Dhobi Ghat. It's Dhobighat.
I will find it. But the reason why I ask you about the previous picture is because it really reminds me of Barcelona. I don't know if you have seen a picture of Barcelona. I can actually put it here now. Mm-hmm. But it the buildings, in a way, are kind of structured very similarly. I don't talk about the slum, but the buildings next to the slum. So if you go here, you see that picture compared to that picture, it reminded me a bit of Barcelona. I mean, of course, it's not the same. It's quite different. But do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I do get that. I think the buildings next to the slum, they're just different society buildings and, you know, cooperative buildings. So, yeah, we have that a lot in Mumbai because it's just too tiny and too many people. So we have stacks of buildings. So people live in very small spaces here. So it's that's how we make those. I think that that's the reason for making those buildings. They take less space, but it's good for, you know, to fit more people. It's just that, yeah, that's the Dhobi Ghat. That's what I was talking about. It's crazy.
So everybody goes there for washing?
No, we give our clothes to these people and they collectively take everything and they wash it there. So we don't have to go and give it to them there. They come and collect all our clothes. I mean, depending on who, if you get your clothes, if you're going to give it to them or someone else, depends on who you're giving it to. But most people here give it to them and they just wash it there.
Well, out of curiosity, have you been in the slum?
Not yet. That's not yet.
Not yet, but you want to go?
I want to, yes. I really did, but I haven't been able to. I think for me personally, it's just that I think I'm very sensitive in a way. So I just, if I see something, I don't know how I will react to it. It's not that they're a very nice community. They're good people and they have the, you know, they manufacture leather there, good quality leather. Yeah, they do. They have like small businesses and everything. They're a huge community. They do their own thing. They're really good. But I think it's just the fact that the idea of, you know, it's a tiny space and like four to five, a family of five, even six people living in that tiny space. So I don't know how I'm going to react to it mentally. So I haven't been there, but I am definitely going to visit one day. I want to.
Okay. Okay. That's good. All right. What else can you tell us? If there is, you know, nothing else in your mind that we can see, maybe we can move on. What would you say?
In Mumbai, what else you should go to Fort. We have, so the Fort campus of my university has two different campus places. So one is in Fort. And the Fort campus is beautiful for its architecture. I think I didn't mention that. For its architecture, the Fort campus is very, very beautiful. It's one of the oldest universities in India, Mumbai University. So their Fort campus is so nice. You should definitely go and visit that. We also have one festival, but it happens, I think, in October. I'm not sure when it happens. It's called Kala Ghora Festival, which is kind of like an art festival. And it's very, very popular. A lot of people go and visit that, visit to see like different artifacts, and a lot of designers come and present their art, work and everything. And it's beautiful. I'm not sure when it happens. I think it happens in October, August to October time. But yeah, that also happens in South Mumbai. There's also a Mahalakshmi race course if you like horse racing. So that's also in South Mumbai. So it depends on what you want to do. We got so many options. What do you want to do?
Okay.
So you have different options.
All right. So wait, if I go for the cars, is there a place where I can, you know, race as well? Or?
Yeah. I mean, like you can't race, but you can bet. I mean, people do that a lot here.
Oh, betting is a big thing.
Yeah. You can do that. I know my friends who have been there and lost so much money because that happens. So there's horse racing that happens in Mahalakshmi race course. It's pretty cool.
Okay. So would you say that betting is a big thing in India in general?
Not in India in general. I wouldn't say that. I think it's just the culture, I think, with horse racing. It's kind of integrated into that horse racing culture that you bet. I know people who have personally, they've lost so much money because of this. That's how I know this, but I think it's just like that culture. I don't know much about India. I don't know if I can associate this betting thing with India, but it happens at the race course for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Perfect. something, I just saw that national park, to be fair, and it's massive, massive. And if you remember, there was a picture of a lion that I saw there. Maybe there is a part in the park where it's closed and there are animals there. Would that be the case?
I know that there are no lions here. There are, I think,
there, what?
There are rumors to be leopards here. And all right. That's true because some residents have actually seen leopards. But I'm pretty sure there are no lions.
Residents, you mean the leopards were running freely?
Yeah, they run freely. There are leopards in the national park, and they're in the wild. They live there. It's not like a large number or anything. I was gonna I remember something that I forgot. Yeah. So speaking of lions, I was gonna say something. Speaking of leopards, we have a lake called the Pawai Lake. I'll talk about it later. So the leopards thing, they do exist. The leopards are in the park, but they're very small. They're not big leopards, but yeah, they run wild. But I don't think there are lions though.
Okay. All right.
So the next one is the Pawai Lake. We have a lake that's called the Pawai Lake, and we have like small alligators there.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, we do. People think it's rumor or something. It's not, but they're there because there are residents who have seen alligators. They're kind of, yeah. The point, yes, that's the lake.
So the lake is right next to the park, which is massive, roughly probably middle Mumbai in a way. And you see, what did you say? You say alligators there.
Yeah. So during monsoon, Mumbai is known for its monsoon. We have like almost 6 months. We have 6 months of like rain and everything. And it's just sometimes we get tired of it. But during monsoon, when the water level kind of rises, you can see alligators. They sometimes come out and yeah, it's wow. There.
Wow.
Yeah, it's but massive. The big one, Ganesh Chaturthi, just happened a few days ago. It's our biggest festival. So that's Lord Ganesha with the elephant head. He is the Lord of, he's the one who's going to remove all the obstacles that you have in your life. Any obstacles that you have, he's going to remove and, you know, he's going to bless you. So he's our favorite god. He's our Mumbai favorite. In South, we have we also have this kind of I don't know how to say this. It's like a biggest or largest idol making competition. That's the right thing. So we want to make every place here, like we have small like buildings and society and the cooperatives, they want to make the big idol. So we have one in Lal Bagh, which they make the biggest idol. Sometimes these idols are huge. We have that as the festival. It's our favorite festival. Just happened. Ganesh Chaturthi.
Why is your favorite festival?
It's everyone. It's like it's a Mumbai thing. So
why for Mumbai people? Why is why?
So the people here are mostly, as I said in the beginning of the video, Marathi people. So Marathi people, we have different gods. Like I'm from the eastern part of India. It's going to sound a little crazy and it's too much information. So we have like 33 million gods and goddesses. Yes, that's
how
true.
Do you even count them? 33 million. Oh my God.
We don't even know all the names and everything, but we know that that's what we consider. So we have different gods for every region. So the eastern region, like where I'm from, West Bengal, our biggest festival is Durga Puja because that's our goddess, Ma Durga. And that's for Bengali people. I'm Bengali. And we worship Ma Durga the most. And in Mumbai, Marathi people, they worship Ganesh. Lord Ganesha. So that's why Ganesh Chaturthi is their biggest festival. In Mumbai, the biggest festival is Ganesh Chaturthi. If you go to West Bengal, the biggest festival is Durga Puja. That's going to happen in November, I think, this year.
So, okay, yeah. So how many regions are in India? I know there are a lot, but how many roughly?
We have 28, more than 28 states. We also have like
Okay, let's put it 30 states. And each state has a god. That's 30 gods, right?
Yeah.
And
each state has... It's not like if you go into West Bengal, nobody worships Lord Ganesha, nothing like that. We worship everyone, but we have...
But you have a main one, yeah? Okay, so even if each state has, I don't know, five gods, it's still 30 states. That's still way, 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 way far away from 33 million. Yeah. How the hell that happened?
Because we count eras and the population of like a whole era for us. We have different eras, like we have Kali Yuga, we have Dwapar Yuga. It's a very different conversation. It's historical conversation. It's more about, related to mythology and everything. But the thing is, we consider one era's population to be all gods and goddesses, and 33 million. Yeah, that's how it is.
Okay. Yeah, you definitely shocked me here. Okay, 33 million. So when you travel from east, when you worship, you know, when you have one favorite god, and then you go to the west, and what do you do there? Do you worship their god there, or do you do yours in east?
We worship everyone. There are no boundaries.
You must have a lot of holidays.
Yes, that is true. That is the best part in India. We have a lot of holidays and they're all fun ones. We celebrate everything. It's not like we just celebrate Indian festivals. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Eid. We celebrate everything, all kinds of festivals. But our own festivals are so crazy. Oh, I haven't even talked about Holi yet. You don't know about Holi. So Holi is the festival of colors. Do you know about that?
No.
It's a crazy festival. People get drunk, they smoke weed, they drink something, and they get crazy and they play with colors. That's what they do during Holi. I stay away because I'm allergic to the colors, and I don't do all of that. So I'm
how
just
are you? How are you head. Allergic to colors?
Because and now they have organic colors, that's good, but the kind of colors they use, it's not good for my skin. I used to get, when I played Holi for the first time when I was young, oh my god, I got rashes. Yeah, that's Holi. I got rashes all over my body, so I stopped. And it's also kind of a crazy festival, so it's not my favorite, but a lot of people love it.
So people basically travel to get stained in different colors.
It's very big in Varanasi, which is kind of in the middle. Varanasi is a different place. It's far from Mumbai, but Varanasi Holi is like very nice. Pushpak is also, I think, it's a good place. Rajasthan is its state, northern state in India.
How far is this festival from Mumbai?
Oh, this happens in Mumbai as well. But you're talking about the Rajasthan one?
Yes.
If you take a flight, I think it's 2 hours, 2 hours flight, short flight from Mumbai to Rajasthan, 2 hours.
Okay. Yeah, seems like a very, very cool experience. Just before you started talking about these colors, I started searching online for the holidays. So how many holidays you have per year? I'm curious to find out now.
Oh, a lot. We have a lot. We, I think, have 15, close to 15, at least. 15 to 20.
15? I was actually thinking you're going to go with more.
No. I mean, big ones. Small ones, we have so many. But the big ones where we actually get like a holiday, like it's a calendar, like a bank holiday, I think we get like 15, but that's a lot. I think that's more.
You have a lot. I just found a website and it's like bank holidays in India in 2020. And look at this. I'm just scrolling and scrolling.
Yeah, but Yeah, 15, 20. It won't be more than that. 15 to 20.
Did I read correctly that you have 3 national days?
Yes, we have Independence Day. We have Republic Day. I think, I don't know if you call the 2nd October is a national holiday, but it's the birthday of Mahatma Gandhi. We celebrate as a national holiday. So okay. We also have 2 different days. We have a Republic Day and we have the Independence Day.
Wow. Yeah, very joyful nation. I can see that. Yeah. Very open for celebrations. Okay. Anything else you'd like to add on this subject here while we're with, holidays and festivals, or maybe we can move to food?
No, I think I'm just going to be like, if you come during Ganesh Chaturthi, it's the best time to come. It's crazy, but you're going to love it. It's so nice. People are so happy. I mean, this year it was a little sad because obviously the COVID-19 thing, and we missed it. But it's such a good celebration. And I always recommend people to come during Ganesh Chaturthi. It's beautiful. Also, the big one is Diwali, which is not Mumbai specific, but Diwali is India's biggest festival. It's kind of a rivalry. It should be Durga Puja because I'm Bengali. I would say Durga Puja should be like the biggest festival, but it's not. It's Diwali. It's the festival of lights, and it's beautiful. It really is. A lot of firecrackers, though.
How far is it from Mumbai, and when is it happening?
It happens everywhere. Everywhere in India.
But so when?
It's going to happen this year in November. It usually happens in October, November.
Also, you changed the dates. Why?
Because the calendar is different. Oh. You know how it follows some kind of thing that is, I don't know exactly what, but it changes. The date changes every year. Mm-hmm. And it happens everywhere in India. It's not just a region specific. It's not a city specific. It's not a state specific thing. It's everywhere and it's beautiful, and it's noisy and it's colorful, but it's so, so nice. It's also a good festival. It's also one of my favorites.
Okay. Oh my God. Yeah. With so many holidays, it's normal to have so many festivals, I think, because, you have a day off, you have a day off, they have a day off. And at some point you probably get bored. Like, okay, we have a lot of day offs and like, let's throw a festival. Yeah. We run out of ideas. Let's throw some paint. Yeah.
We love to celebrate.
Yeah. I admire that. I thought in Bulgaria we have a lot of holidays, but I think you beat us.
We beat everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Shall we talk some food then?
Yes.
Would you like to make me hungry?
Yes. But it depends. Do you like spicy food?
Here's the thing. I think I like spicy food, but your spicy level is a different level than the regular one, I think.
That is true. It's a struggle for me as well because I can't take spicy food. And I struggle whenever I go out with my friends because they like spicy food and I don't like spicy food. And I'm like, oh, how do I eat this? But yeah, India, we love spicy food. That is our thing. But instead, I got so many funny stories. So, but the special thing about Mumbai.
Hold on. Let's keep it suspense. We're going to talk about the special after the commercials. I'm just kidding. There are no commercials. But what I want to say, I just Googled the country in the world with most holidays. I'm going to surprise you here because you're not on the top. You're at the top ones, but you're not at the very top. So you have 21 together with Kazakhstan. You have 21. You share the third place. Second place is Sri Lanka with 25.
Oh.
And the first one is Cambodia, 28.
That is cool. I didn't know that.
You see, we're both learning.
Ask India.
Was that? What did you say last?
I used to think it has to be India because we're just so many people and so many cultures together.
And then Cambodia strikes. Guess again, India.
Well, that's good. That's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know that. I learned something today. That's awesome.
Yes. We learn together. Okay. So what's that special dish that you started saying then? You can share with us now.
For Mumbai, it's actually street food. It's vada pav. Vada pav is like two buns, and then you get like a patty, kind of like a potato filled, like a falafel. I don't know how to explain. Yes.
Okay. That's, it does look like a falafel.
That is, I'm sorry, I didn't get that one.
It does look like a falafel, to be fair.
Yeah. That's a potato filled falafel thingy in between like the bread. And that is our favorite street food. That is everything that Mumbaikers crave for. And we love some vada pav. We love vada pav, and we love misal pav. So we love pav, basically. So the buns, you see, we call them pav.
Uh-huh.
And
so you like bread?
Yes, we like bread. Yes.
Okay. Well, with that much spice around, and I would assume it's good to have some bread to, you know, put it down a bit.
Yes. So the you see the red one and the green one. So the red one is supposed to be like kind of a garlic spice thing mix. It's a type of chutney. And the green one is the spicy one because it's got green chilies and mint sometimes. And it's just really, really, really spicy sometimes. It tastes, it's too good. Oh, my God. I want to have one right now.
I thought you're gonna make me hungry, but it turns out it's
that's our kind of food. It's not for everyone.
Yeah.
But you know, those who live here, they know how much we love vada pav.
So is that for Mumbai?
It's a Mumbai thing, yes.
So if I go to a different region, I probably won't find it, you say?
No, you won't find. I mean, you will find it, but it's not as big as Mumbai, and it's not the same taste. So if you go, like, say in northern India, it's a different kind of street food. If you go eastern India, very different kind of street food. So all our food kind of changes with every region, every state, everything. So if you go south, you think they probably have the like spiciest food ever. They love their spices, and it's so good. Like their curries are like the best. And northern food is more, it's not that spicy, but they have a different kind of, you know, cuisine altogether. And in Gujarat, they like their sweets. And if you go to Bengal, where I'm from, the eastern India, we love fish. We love our fish. We love sweets. We have like different kinds of sweets. I'm like, yes. We love it. We love like sandesh, rasgulla, which is like different sweet options, dessert options. And in Mumbai, vada pav is one. And anything with pav is basically just our food. We love pav. And we also have different kinds of like world cuisine because we have all kinds of restaurants here. So you can, if you want Japanese food, we've got the restaurant. If you want Korean food, we've got the restaurant. If you want any kind of cuisine you're craving, Italian, French, we have everything. So, but okay. We have that different street food section that's just for Mumbai.
Okay, tell me something else then. Tell me some other food.
We have Malwani food, which is kind of like, it's spicy, but it's the region. Malwan is the region that was the Konkan region, which is kind of which is surrounded by the sea. It's like the Koli region and Konkan region. They're kind of like the sea region, and they have their different cuisines. So Malwani food is it's spicy, but they have like different curries and they have like their different delicacies. It's also, it's very different. So their sweet option is Shrikhand, which is a type of dessert. And
you like a lot of sweet, don't you? You are like, no, we don't.
I do like a curry thing, as curry and rice and all of that, but I do like desserts more because I can't take spice so much. Spice is not for me.
Yeah.
I can't take it, so I eat a lot of sweets. Yeah, so, the Shrikhand is one popular one.
I'm not sure if you're gonna know what I'm talking about, but because I used to work in a company where they had people from Sri Lanka and some people from India as well, and they were bringing these balls that were soaked in some syrup.
Gulab jamun.
Yeah. Okay, you know what it is. I don't remember what the name is.
Were they like dark in color? Were they white or dark in color?
I think they were dark.
So if it's dark, then it's gulab jamun. But if it's white, then it's rasgulla, which is rasgulla, commonly mispronounced.
Yes, you're right. It's the dark one. This one, exactly this one.
That's gulab jamun. Some people
so
win it.
Sweet.
Sorry?
They're so sweet.
Yes. So sweet. Yes, it's very sweet. I love it. If you want like a mild option, not so much sweet, then you can go for kaju katli. Kaju katli is also my favorite.
So is that a normal thing here in India? This, how you say it, gulab jamun?
Yes.
It's really, really like eaten?
But you can't have it. You can't have it every day. It's like a. I mean, you want to, but it's not good for you. Mm. So you have it like once in a while, like once in 2 weeks or once in 3 weeks.
So what's the juice? What are they soaked in? What is this?
It's kind of a syrup. It's sugar, just sugar and water. That's it.
Sugar and water. Okay.
Yeah. It's a lot of sugar. It's just a sugary syrup.
And then what are they made of? Tell me, bread.
No, mawa. Mawa. No. I don't know what mawa is and how to explain it. Okay. Mawa is like kheer and mawa. I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to explain this. It's something that some people make it with this milky thing. I don't know. And then they're actually fried. First, they're fried. Then they're dipped into that syrup. So I think they make it with mawa. There are different ways of making gulab jamun. I don't know how to make them, but all I know is how to eat them.
Okay, I see,
they put so much of cardamom and all of that. I don't like that. I just like them plain and simple, like fried and then dipped into that syrup.
I see you tried to look a bit innocent there. I just eat them. Yeah, good try. Okay, so do you cook, by the way?
I'm a really bad cook.
No, so you just eat?
I like eating. I don't cook as much as I used to. I don't know. I think it's kind of the laziness has taken over me. I live alone. And I just don't like to cook for myself. I just feel like a lot of work. Just for myself. So I don't. But okay. I love to eat, yes.
Just a quick question now. Something came into my mind. Because we're talking about India, I just have to ask you. There was this TV series not so long ago. I think they're still circulating in Netflix. Indian Matchmaker.
Oh, you've watched that? Have you?
Just one episode.
But how did you not get hooked? It's like if you watch one episode, you have to watch all the episodes. That's
no,
what happened to me.
I get hooked very, you know, difficult in a way. So yeah, it wasn't hooking for me. That's why I avoid to watch TV series, because if I get hooked, no, I need to keep watching after that. But I watch one episode, and that's because people keep telling me like you should watch it. I didn't even watch the full episode, I think. I just don't watch anymore. But I think I asked someone about this and they said it's not like that. I just want to hear your take. It's not like that.
It's very exaggerated in that.
For the show.
In that show, yeah. For that show, they have kind of started the storyboarding and everything just to make it appear to be so, it's too much. But it's not like that in reality. I mean, arranged marriages, they obviously exist in India. It's common. Now it's kind of becoming, it's not that common, but it used to be very, very common. It's a thing. It's still a thing. People still do it. And I think there is nothing wrong with it, but the way they have shown it, it's just so sexist and kind of racist and different. I don't know. It's just not the best representation of how arranged marriages happen in India. And I think it should have been like a mockumentary, but I don't know why they made it into like a full-fledged show. That kind of bothers me, because so many people like you have watched the show and they get this idea mm-hmm. about India, which is just wrong. There's not much truth in that, except arranged marriages happen, but it's not that exaggerated or that manner. So it's very
okay. I thought so. I just wanted to double check that. And there was this one guy who was, I don't know, he was a sidekick or something. He was looking into the future, or was it?
Astrology.
Yes.
We have astrologers in India. It's a popular thing.
Oh, is it?
We believe the time you were born, the day you were born, the stars and every planet, they were like in a formation, and we kind of predict your future, you know, thinking about that formation. There's some logic to it, but we don't know what logic that is.
Okay. I see. What's that?
Some people believe in it. So even my parents believe in it. My mom believes in it. I mean, it's very difficult to make them, you know,
not believe.
Yeah, not believe. But then what can you do? It's kind of cute, though.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for clarifying these things. I just, you know, went to, you know, go a bit from the higher road that we were on. Is there anything about food that you would like to add?
About Mumbai food, I think that's pretty much it. I think we love our street food. You can find, we also like poha. Poha is like puff rice. It's puff rice. And then we mix like a lot of, we like peanuts and we add coriander and everything. Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Coriander is a big thing in India, isn't it?
It is. We love our coriander. We love it.
Not a big friend with the coriander myself.
It makes everything better. It's just, I love it. That's my favorite. Kanda poha. Kanda is onion, and we add that, we fry that into the poha.
Kanda is what?
Onion.
Oh, it's onion.
Onion is, kanda is the regular word for onion, or else it's pyaz, but in Mumbai we call it kanda. So poha is a very popular Mumbai street food, and we love it. It's kind of like a breakfast thing. Like most people here, they just have like poha and cutting chai is something. I'm not a chai person, and I know a lot of people, if Indians are watching this, they're going to be very offended, because pretty much every Indian I know is a chai person. Chai is basically tea, but it's different than other. Like we put milk and sugar, and it's like, it's good. But it's just too strong for me, the flavor and the smell, and I don't like it. And a lot of people are like, but I'm not a chai person. But cutting chai is like a favorite beverage, Mumbai's favorite beverage. We call it cutting chai because we have like these small tea stalls. They're like in the road, like side of the road. And people just go when they're taking a break, like if they're working, they just take like chai break for like 5 minutes. They just go out and have like a cup of chai.
It's like, it's like the British afternoon tea in a way.
In a way, but it's very different from the British tea.
Of course. So first the British, because I see some pictures, they have a tiny bit of biscuit or a scone on the side. So in a way, it's similar because you take in the afternoon. Yes, you take the time to have a biscuit with it. But in the same time, you know, in the afternoon here in UK, it's kind of a big thing. It's a culture, you know, even go and spend the whole afternoon there while you say you're going to spend 5 minutes and just go, you know, short break.
But that's not like once a day. That chai break happens like 4 or 5 times a day. It's not like just the afternoon. You know, sometimes you're feeling like stressed and you don't know what to do. You're too stressed at work. What do I do? Go for chai. Go do a chai break, a small chai break. It actually, I know a lot of people hear, like, my friends, it just changes their perspective. Like, they take a chai break and they come back and they're a different person.
Wow.
They're so much more calm and, like, composed and, like, I feel better now.
Wow.
But it only happens to, there are a lot of chai lovers in Mumbai. I think in India, the chai is, like, a big thing. It's just not for me. But I'm not even a coffee person. I drink green tea, which is weird. But chai is a big thing, yeah. I was going to say something. I remembered something, but I forgot. I'm sorry. There was a big thing about Mumbai that I just remembered, right? I can't remember on top of my...
Was it about food?
No, it was something else.
About chai? Cats? Cows? About the driving? About the astrology?
No, I absolutely can't remember.
Okay. Maybe we'll come back. Okay, so what about any other drinks can you mention to us?
For beverage in Mumbai?
In general, like what people like to drink.
In India? People here enjoy, well, chai is definitely a big one. Yeah, and other drinks and stuff. No, I think chai is the most popular one, yeah. And in Mumbai, there's another thing. We get sol curry, which is a type of drink. I'm not sure what it's made of because I've had it only once.
Did you say curry?
Sol curry. It's a type of drink that you're supposed to have with your lunch. They give it with your lunch. Yes.
Is it alcohol?
No. It's I think made of
strawberry.
No, they put something to make that color. It's not strawberry. I don't know what they make it. I don't remember. I had it once. It's a Marathi thing. It's a Mumbai thing. You can't find it anywhere. I mean, you can find it, but it's more popular here. So. They use that. I'm not sure what they use. Kokum curry. Kokum, I think it's the type of berry or something. I might be wrong. I don't know much about it. I've had it once. Not a big fan.
Okay.
It's not sweet. It has a very different taste. I can't explain. It's very different. But people love it here. That's one drink, yeah.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Anything else? You would like to share?
About food? No, I covered everything.
I mean, yeah, in general, I think we covered a lot. So anything else that you think we missed and people should know?
I mean, Mumbai is so big and it's just so much. It's obviously easy to miss something. But I think I covered everything, the big ones, the big topics, I think. The things that... make Mumbai Mumbai. If there's anything I left out, I'm so sorry if someone's watching from Mumbai.
Okay, one thing I would like to ask again, not again, but before we finish, you said the driving is crazy, especially in the north part of India. So when we go to India and to Mumbai, to north part of Mumbai, sorry, when we go to Mumbai, how we should travel around?
Oh, we have auto rickshaw, like tuk-tuks. Those are the easiest ones to just, you can just hop on. But if you are from a different country and you might get, overcharged. So the easiest option is to just Uber and Ola. We have two services.
Ola is like the Indian Uber or the Asian Uber.
Ola is the Indian version of Uber. We have Uber as well. Uber and Ola are equally popular.
So with the tuk-tuks, can you bargain with them?
Yes, but very difficult. I mean, if you don't have a local with you, it's kind of like a hit or miss. It depends. Some people are really good. Some would just be like honest and take you where you want to be and just like not overcharge you, but you're more likely to get overcharged if you don't have a local with you.
Yeah, it's difficult as well because you're not entirely sure of the distance. You don't know what's the usual price, how much they're going to give you. Like, I understand.
It's not metered, though. I mean, they have a meter, but they won't follow it. If you're from a different country and you don't look Indian, they're not going to follow it.
Sounds like Bulgaria when it comes to the taxi drivers when you go there. Okay, what about... So if I go on Uber and we saw these pictures with the traffic and it's crazy, what if I go in a traffic jam?
Yeah.
What's the best case? Like, should I avoid some hours of the day or should I avoid some roads or what do you say?
I'm gonna give you this this incident that happened with me. I was stuck in my cab for 1 hour 45 minutes, and if I just left that cab and if I had just walked, I would have reached my destination in just 15 minutes.
So why you didn't leave?
Because I was just the space, like, it's so packed. I couldn't even open the door and just leave. It was in the middle of the highway and it was packed. Wow. So I had to sit there and wait for it to clear. That's what happens in Mumbai. And it's a specific hours to avoid the peak hours, like the office timings. So like in mornings, say 8 to 11. Do not go out. Do not go out. It's really bad. The roads are packed. I mean, now the situation obviously has changed, but I mean, I'm talking pre-COVID now.
Yeah.
And in the evening, say 5:30 to about 8:39, it's so bad. It's so bad. It frustrates me because I've been stuck in traffic so much. It's because I don't drive, and I always take Uber or Ola, and I always get stuck, and it's terrible. So yeah, that's an issue.
So what about the bike then? If I have a bike, can I go around?
Yeah, if you have, but that's actually a better option. If you have a bike, then it's easier for you to just like kind of maneuver and just like, yeah, do your own things. But if you travel during the peak hours, you will get stuck in traffic. But it's obviously...
Even with a bike.
Even with a bike, yeah. But less. Less than like being stuck in a cab because you can't get out. So bike gives you more freedom, obviously. But yeah, the traffic is bad anyway. But if you have to avoid the peak hours. I would say don't travel during the peak hours.
I see.
Go before.
I see. Okay. I have... Everything from my end, I think you fulfilled my curiosity. I feel satisfied. If there's something else you would like to add, now is a good time.
Yeah, no, I think I covered everything. I just want to say that it's a beautiful city. It's a little too crowded and there are people everywhere and it might be like, but you know, it's so nice when you at first you are kind of overwhelmed by the city. That was my case as well, because I come from a very small town. For me, Mumbai was overwhelming as well. I mean, I travel, but still whenever I come back to Mumbai, it's just like so overwhelming. But when you spend some time here, you talk with the locals and you enjoy the culture, it kind of grows on you. The city kind of grows on you and you just kind of fall in love with the city. It's just beautiful. So yeah, that's all.
Okay, well then what only is left is I just want to thank you so much for joining us. And by the way, you said that you have very curious stories from your travels. I'm thinking maybe we can get you for another episode. Am I right? You said that, right?
Yes, I do have fun stories. Oh, they're crazy fun stories. Yes.
Like mention just two. Just two.
Yeah, like I got lost. I started traveling 2 years ago, and like solo traveling, and I got lost in Japan like in the middle of the night. It was so cold in January. It was really crazy. And I also got lost in Rome. I always get lost. I feel like every country I've ever been to, I just get lost a lot.
Probably it's in your checklist. Okay, Japan, get lost, check. Okay.
Yes.
And then what was there? Something else you said as well.
I got robbed in Istanbul.
Robbed.
Yeah.
Like completely everything. Everything.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Like completely everything. They took all your money.
No. Thank God. That is a cool story. I don't know why I was so smart, because I'm usually not that smart. I decided to keep my cash. I carried like two different wallets. One had my cash and the other one had my cards, and also had my passport, because I was such a genius to keep my passport in my wallet. And thank God I didn't carry that wallet with me. I just carried the cash one, and the cash one that got stolen in Istanbul.
Wow. Okay. Maybe we can dive in some of your stories in another episode. But thanks so much for joining us and for educating us about India and Mumbai specifically. It was a great pleasure. And you know, I wish you a fantastic evening.
Thank you so much for having me. I had such a fun chat. Thank you.
And that's a wrap for yet another episode of the Curious Pavel podcast sessions. Before we finish completely, let me just tell you two things. First of all, thank you so much for listening to the whole episode. You are warming my heart. And the second one is, since you listened this episode till the very end, that means you enjoy it. Well, don't be selfish and share this episode with other people. Before you close your app, really, go and share this now. Open your phone, go to the episode, share it to your favorite platform. Don't be selfish, share it to other people. Let them learn something new about this country, about this city, about this place as well. Don't be selfish, share. Thank you so much. If you're into visuals and it was by accident that you ended up on this podcast listening, if you prefer visuals, these episodes are also going on the YouTube channel, Curious Pavel. Thanks so much for listening again for the whole episode. Thank you so much for sharing. I wish you a fantastic day and I'll see you on the next episode.